We love you. We exalt your name. We ask that this morning you open your word to us and bring us understanding and illumination. Take all the praise, take all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. This morning, I want to build on some of the things that I began sharing yesterday, even as the Lord began to stir us. It's important for us to have accurate understanding of spiritual realities. When understanding is not furnished, the volume and amount of time you spend will count for nothing. As good as it is for someone to remain in the kingdom for a long period of time, your time and the time spent in the kingdom will amount to nothing if you don't have understanding. And understanding is not just packets of knowledge here and there. You may know so much, it will still not profit you. Because understanding is not knowledge. Understanding is knowledge that is coordinated. Understanding is productive knowledge. Understanding is the ability to accurately organize knowledge so that you can have results. It's the ability to coordinate knowledge in the right sequence. That is when spiritual things will begin to make meaning and spiritual things will begin to profit you. One of the greatest ideas of the teaching ministry is to bring men to understanding. There are other purposes for the teaching ministry. For example, when we teach, we bring the witness of the realm that we represent. So beyond the understanding you are receiving, you are also receiving impartation of spirit and reality. So you can come under an atmosphere of teaching, and as we are talking about the healing anointing, you will discover that healings will be taking place. So we are not just bringing you understanding, we are also bringing you the reality of healing. And then we can be teaching about healing, for example, and you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. What it means is that we are not just talking to you about that reality. The person, the personality that embodies that reality can come into intimacy. So at one level, we bring you understanding of how the subject works. At another level, we bring you impartations of the realities that are captured within the context of that subject. And at another level, we bring to you the personality that embodies that subject. But I'm not talking about all of that now. I'm just talking about the place of understanding and the top position it occupies in furnishing and equipping you so that you can be effective in the project of advancing the kingdom. This is why the teaching ministry is so important. It may not be as powerful as a revival service where everybody is shouting, everybody is under the anointing because impartations are taking place, but it is the most potent tool for building a believer to maturity. Because maturity is not a momentary encounter. Maturity is a function of progressive equipping that brings you to a place where you can walk in the realities of the things you have encountered. So teaching ministry, as simple as it looks, is one of the most significant aspects of ministry. The younger generation, unfortunately, are not so, given to the precept upon precept teaching. They want to be excited all the time. But you see, like I was sharing with Pastor Isaac this morning, some of the landmarks that the fathers of old have established, if we don't follow these landmarks, we will not have strong Christians in the days to come. We will have excited Christians, we will have motivated Christians, but we will not have strong Christians. Because the fathers of old had a concerted way of building a generation. When we were born to Jesus, we came for foundation school, we were taught what it meant to be saved, we were taught the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we were taught the place of evangelism, we were taught the place of fellowship, we were taught the place of of studying the word of God on a daily basis. We were taught the place of prayer. They taught us these things little by little, precepts upon precepts, and they became part of our thinking process. And even after many years, we just keep doing these things as a way of life. But you see, in our generation today, because people are not taught and the teaching ministry is not exalted, most people are just excited. They want to have encounters, they want to have titles, they want to say a lot of lofty things, but there is no stamina in the spirit. There's no stamina, there's no capacity. Somebody is an apostle, but you cannot leave him with a sister, because if you leave him, the next time you come, there is a challenge. Somebody is a prophet, you can't leave him with church funds, because if you leave him, the next time you come, he has the latest iPhone, and when you check, the offering has depleted. So there is a problem. A lot of mysteries, yet no stamina, because we have not given the teaching ministry its appropriate position in the things of the spirit. And that is why I wanted to establish certain basics before we begin to delve into deeper matters. This does not in any way undermine the place of our access into deeper realities of the kingdom. The reason is because the move of God over a people is progressive. So God brings us into more depth as we approach the end of the age. The reason is because what God wants to do in the end of the age, it's complex. And also the warfare of the end of the age is complex. You see, many years ago, when you talked about warfare, people just come on media to persecute the church. But today, they bring bombs into the church. Many years ago, when you talk about warfare, they just accuse Christians of not knowing what they do. But today, they want to outrightly destroy, kill, maim everybody that bears the mark of the Lord. So in addition to doctrine, a time is coming when you will need to know how to bilocate if you will be able to preach the gospel, because they may not let you enter certain nations where you should preach. So you must learn, like Philip, how to travel by the wind. And it is not doctrine. It's not doctrine that makes you travel by the wind. They are secrets of the spirit that are committed in his lively oracles on account of intimacy. So as we emphasize doctrinal issues in order to stabilize people, we also need to be open to the realities and the mysteries that comes with the move of the spirit, so that we can be effective in the last day. So my talking about doctrine this morning is not in a bid to dwarf the mysteries of the kingdom. Both of them must go hand in hand, because you will learn to fight with the right hand and with the left hand in order to be strong in the last day. Are we together? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
So last night I began to build, and there were three things I said last night. The first, I showed us how that God doesn't need us to be God. I showed us the magnitude, the boisterous powers and realm where God dwells. So I told us that before God began creation, he was God. And I told us creation and everything we know, both in the spirit and in the natural, is one of the many projects of God. Because before God started creation, he was not idle. He had always been God, and his realm existed apart from creation. The community of the Godhead existed before creation began. And it is not creation that makes God God. God is the one that created all things. And so before creation, he was God. And there were many other things God was doing that only God knows. And for you to know those things, you have to enter the realm of God to know. You know, sometimes when I'm discussing with the Holy Spirit, I'm hoping that he will give me the opportunity to experience some things. But you see, certain things are forbidden for creation. The way creation was furnished, you can't accommodate those knowledge. If you accommodate it, it will make you something else. You will no longer be part of creation. Because knowledge actually makes in the realm of the spirit. That's why I say this is life eternal, that you may know. So knowledge is not gathering knowledge. Knowledge is what makes you become in the realm of the spirit. So some things are not to be known by us. But the point I'm trying to make is that God is God without you. He doesn't need you to be God. The reason he decided to embark on creation, the angelic realm all together involved is because of the counsel of his will. He had a purpose in his heart, so he began another project, and that project is the project of creation. And I made us understand that even when God started creation, he didn't begin with man. Man is the least in creation. He created so many other beings before he came to create man. And I showed us the cadre of the angelic realm, where you have elders, you have archangels, you have chief princes, you have cherubims, you have seraphims, before you come to man. I told us all of these other beings are powerful beings. The glory of the angelic realm, it is in the power they command. So when an angel shows up, you can define the glory of that angel by the appearance of that angel. So an angel of strength, when you see him, his makeup defines strength, because they carry their glory upon them. An angel of worship, when he shows up, you will see musical instrument wired into him, because his being reflects his assignment. That's why he said in Ezekiel 28 from verse 13 that your tap and your tablets were in thee from the day of thy creation. So they don't need to play on a keyboard. If they want to play a keyboard, they can lift up their hands and the instrument is there. Sometimes they begin to wave their hands and they begin to produce sounds, because they are wired with their organs. So an angel of worship doesn't need to play an instrument. If he begins to lift his hands, you can hear the sound of the tambourine. If he begins to stretch his hand, you can hear the sound of the guitar. If he begins to walk, you can hear the sound of the keyboard. So what he's playing, as my brother is playing now, that sound, the angel will move according to that sound, the motions of that sound. He will reflect it as he's moving, because he's wired with his equipment. So they are beings of power and glory. But when God wanted to create man, he didn't create him like the angelic. So the power of the man is not in his physical appearance. That's why he said we have this glory hid in earthen vessels. He decided to hide the glory of man, because the reason for which he created man is different from the reason for which he created the angels. The angels were created to use their attributes for service. God created man for intimacy. He wanted to have fellowship. He wanted to have love. He wanted to have depth of relationship with the man. So the goal for the creation of the man is not primarily service. He will serve God. But the goal of man's creation is because God was looking for a being that he can have intimacy with, where he can have love with, where he can relate with on a close range and a close proximity. So the reason God created man was for intimacy. So I told us, first of all, that God doesn't need anything in creation to be God. But love motivated God to begin the project of creation. And when he created man particularly, man became the object of his love. That is why, while other beings could go to heaven, to the throne room to worship God, God will leave the throne room and come looking for the man in the garden. Because the man is the object of his love. All other beings can go to serve him. They can go to worship him. But he is the one who looks for man. And that's why even when man fell, God came for him. Because the goal was intimacy. Man is the object of God's love. And I shared with us yesterday again that when God created man to begin this journey of love and intimacy, man trivialized it. So man created a cycle. The cycle man created was a cycle of death and life. Because of his rebellion, he fell from the realm of God. The realm where God put him to have fellowship and intimacy with him, he fell from that realm. So he said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I said, from that day onwards, it became impossible for man to satisfy the desires of God. Because man became a fallen being. Man became a creature of death. Man became a rejected creature from the realm of God, because rebellion and iniquity had entered the sanctuary. So that was the first thing about man. So every time you see a man who still puts trust and confidence in himself, is because he has not understood the state of man. The state of man is the state of the fall. It becomes a waste of life to put your trust in yourself. It becomes a waste of life to live for yourself. From the day man fell, everything you do for yourself is no longer an advantage in the realm of God, because everything about you had already been judged. And he said, the flesh profits nothing. You have already been judged that you can of your own self do nothing. Because the moment man fell, God had to go back to the studio to analyze him. Is there any good remaining in him? There was no good found in man anymore. So from that day, you don't live for yourself and you don't depend on yourself because you are falling. But I said, unfortunately, many have not estimated man correctly. They still think there is something about their intelligence that gives them value. Your intelligence can give you value in the realm of men, not in the realm of spirits. In the realm of spirits, you have already been judged. And when they judge you, they say the flesh profits nothing. So your intelligence has to be submitted to the Spirit of God. God has to animate you for you to have value. Are we there now? Number two, I said it's a waste to have confidence in anything. You see, we live so much for the flesh. We live so much. When you see somebody toiling day and night, it's for what he will eat and drink. He doesn't know that the right place to invest now is not in himself. Every investment here is corruption, because the flesh profits nothing. So the moment man fell, the right place to invest now is in the spirit. That's why Jesus said, labor not to store where rock and moth can destroy and where thief can break in to take away. He said, but labor to what? To invest in the spirit. The reason is because every investment here will end in corruption. But you see, because we have not estimated man correctly, we live our lives and we run the cycle of existence trying to invest here. And when we are done investing, then God will call us and say, come to reality. And then the man will leave everything, including the clothes he's wearing that day, and he will step into reality and discover that he's poor. That was what happened to the rich fool in Luke 16. God looked down from heaven. He said, I have stored my barns and I have filled my barns. Now I will live and enjoy my life in plenty. And when God looked down from heaven, he said, you fool. He said, tonight your life will be demanded of you. And when he was called home, he now discovered that in eternity he didn't even have a chair. He was in a pit in Abraham's bosom. He didn't even have water to drink. There was no drop of water. Meanwhile, the man had excess in the natural, but in the spirit, he didn't have a drop of water. A man who was rich in the natural was begging for a drop, not a cup, for a drop. He said, tell Lazarus to dip his finger into the cup that I may have a drop, that I die of thirst. How is it possible that somebody can be rich in one dimension and be poor in another dimension? It's because the flesh profits nothing. Everything about his courage was in the flesh. So your bank account can be huge, but in the spirit you are lean. You can gym and have muscles. And when you wear suit as I'm wearing now, you are well kept, but in the spirit you can be dry. So on earth you are like this, but in the spirit you are like this. Meanwhile, what you don't is was judged. Because not only man that was judged, the Bible said the elements of this world we met. So everything we store here, we also vanish. Therefore, we must realize that there's no value in flesh. This flesh now becomes a container that God allows us to carry temporarily as we advance the purposes of eternity. So that was the second thing I was able to establish yesterday. And I said, if you have realized that there's no value in flesh, then the first thing that will happen to you is that you will now know that you need a savior. It is your urgent need for a savior that makes you call upon the name of the Lord. Because the flesh is already finished. Your mind is already corrupt. Your will is sabotaged. Everything you store apart from him is a waste. When you now realize you need a savior, you will call upon him urgently. And so when you begin to call upon the name of the Lord now brings salvation. And I say, when salvation comes, then the responsibility dimension is activated. There is a grace doctrine going out there now that makes it look as if you don't need to do anything. Everything has already been done for you. Is a deception. Because in the economy of salvation, God plays his part to bring you salvation. then you play your part to maximize it. That's why you see that all of us will be saved, but our experiences will be different. All of us are saved, but some are sick. Now, Jesus paid the price for sickness, but it takes something you need to do to live in health. Jesus paid the price for a good life, but it takes something to do to live a good life. Jesus paid the price for a victorious life, but it takes what you need to do to live a victorious life. And I said, for you to begin to journey into this victorious living, which is the responsibility dimension of the kingdom, the first thing you must do is to acknowledge what has been done for you. That's where the journey begins from. So I was a liar, but now, because I have received Christ, he said, I'm the righteousness of God. So I now say, Lord, I am your righteousness. While I am yet coming out of lie, I will not let go of what he says I am. So even if I go to pray, I will come before the Lord and say, Lord, you have made me your righteousness. Therefore, I can't live in lie. So I said that acknowledging does two things. The first thing it does is that it gives you a consciousness that you are no longer a slave of sin. It gives you a consciousness that you are no longer a beggar trying to survive. It gives you a consciousness that you are no longer the defeated trying to stay alive. It gives you a consciousness that you have overcome. So you begin to live from that overcomer's consciousness. So every time you decree that you are the winner in Christ, every time you decree that you are the righteousness in Christ, what you are doing is that you are building an understanding and a consciousness of who you now are. Yes, I know I was falling. I know I was useless. I know I was helpless. I know I was condemned. But now, in Christ, I am the righteousness of God. In Christ, I am the victorious one, more than a conqueror. In Christ, I am alive. In Christ, I am everything that I need to be. As you begin to say that, you change your consciousness. There's a paradigm shift in your mind, and it prepares you for what God has to offer. Number two, as you acknowledge what Christ has done, it now activates the power of God. So in Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, he said that the communication of your faith, what God said about you, for you to acknowledge, you must have to engage the Holy Ghost to reveal to you what God has said about you. But there is no way you can acknowledge what you don't know. So many people, they don't open the scriptures. Many people don't pay attention to the word of the Lord. But Paul, speaking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He said, give thyself wholly to these things, that your profiting may be made manifest to all. Give attendance to what? To reading. So you will carry the word of the Lord, you will sit down there and read. This is why the salvation experiences of people are different, because there are those other people that have paid the price. Even though all of us receive the same salvation, they have paid the price to study the word of God for themselves. So they know what God said about them. So why two Christians are walking? Both of them are threatened. One of them say it will not happen, but he's saying it will not happen because he feels he can fight his way through. Another one says it will not happen because the word of the Lord told him that you are more than a conqueror. So one of them will function by the energy of the flesh, which is already condemned. Another one will function by the energy of the living God. Because why I am saying it will not happen, I may be trusting my uncle. Why I'm saying it will not happen, I may be trusting my human connection. Why I'm saying it will not happen, maybe it's because I've looked at you and you are short and I'm huge. And I feel that if you say anything here, I will deal with you. I may even go as far as jacking you and trying to squeeze your neck, until suddenly a giant comes behind you and say, boss. When I now look at the person and he's taller, I will now remove my hand and say, you know, we need to settle this. I don't know why you were angry. There was no need to be angry in the first place, because you thought the short man was all by himself. Now you now realize that he has three giants. Now that's a minor case. The one you don't know is that something have demons. So you are saying it will not happen in the flesh, and the person say, is that what you said? All right. And then you think it's all right. And then when you go to sleep, you now start struggling on the bed. What is happening? You wake up, you now see a big boil on your neck. And then it begins to strangle your life. The reason is because you say it will not happen in the flesh. But the guy is not fighting by the flesh. He's fighting by another spirit. Meanwhile, there is another person
that says it will not happen because he's more than a conqueror. Even if that other guy goes to conjure demons, when he goes to sleep and that demon comes, that demon will meet in Jeremiah there. Because he was talking by an audacity furnished from another end. Are we together? So the first thing you need to do is to pay the price of finding out what was said about you. And you begin to acknowledge it. As you begin to acknowledge it, you create a consciousness and then you activate the power of God. So if you are here, sorry, she was initiated when she was 9. What? You destroy a family with such a great potential. Meanwhile, what it takes is just to say, in the name of Jesus, get out. But the person is not educated in light. He has the education of neurosurgery, but he's not educated in light. So the 50 years of labor can be swept under the carpet by a small girl of 10 who is demonic. Do you see the top place of spiritual knowledge vis-a-vis natural knowledge? This is why you must pay the price, so that you don't grow and become 35 years, then you discover that a woman in the village looked at you and said, you are fair. And then because you are fair, you think you are fine. And then she covers you with a cobweb. And no young man can marry you. Meanwhile, you are of good character. You are very beautiful. You are from a good family. But now you are 35 years. And it looks as if every young man around is blind. The reason is because you were not educated in light. And you didn't acknowledge the things that are yours. You only acknowledge your eyelashes. You acknowledge your height. You acknowledge your legs, your fat legs. So every time you bought high heel and you were walking like this, acknowledging your external beauty. And after a while, when you are 35, you will now begin to acknowledge night vigils. The guy is in the university. Every course he wrote is called A. And then when he's walking with his friend, his shoulders are clear. He's acknowledging his intelligence. Then after a while, he will graduate with first class. And then he will look for a job for 10 years. When he seeks job for 10 years, he now discovers that, no, this is not the only thing. Thank God for knowledge. But there is something I need to acknowledge. And what I need to acknowledge is that I am the head, not the tail. Whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. The righteous is like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters, whose leaf produces in their season, in their season, in their season. And because it's your season, you cannot be disadvantaged. If you don't know these things, the battle of life will swallow you up. And many people will put their hands in diabolism because they don't know the concerted process of spiritual development. How many things have you been acknowledging? You can go to your uncle's place, buy him a diary. You can do all that so that he knows that you are mindful of him. You wake up every 1 week, you send him a text. Hello, uncle, how are you doing? I just want to check up on you to make you know that I'm checking up. You acknowledge every other thing you know naturally, but the natural realm has already been judged. So what will suffice the natural realm is the additions you make by acknowledging your spiritual advantage. Every day I wake up, there is something I know about scripture that I affirm. I am the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. It may not yet appear what we shall look like, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. I am the light of the world. I am the solution the world is waiting for. Not by power, not by might, by the spirit of the living God. Blessed is he that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor derive his joy in the ways of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On this law doth he meditate day and night. I meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. Therefore, I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of living waters. I produce my fruits in my season. I shall not wither. I shall not wither. I just keep acknowledging these things. And my life keep being beautiful and beautiful. Keep being glorious and glorious. Just because I'm functioning from another reality. Because when you begin to acknowledge, you begin to live from another reality. These are simple, but believers don't know it. They wake up, they struggle with everything. No,
No, it's not supposed to be so. It ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. He said Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than their peers. Now, we are doing the same thing, but the thing is now, we are functioning from different realms. Because when we talk about spiritual things, we are not telling you to leave the natural world and go and live in the spirit. No, we are telling you to dominate the natural world by the resources of the spirit. The Bible says you shall not want your mate. He said, none among you shall be barren. How often have you acknowledged it? You don't get married because you wore a pink gown. You don't get married because you wore a black gown. You don't get married because you barbed your eyelashes. That's the way of the world. You get married because you are clothed with favor. The favor of the Lord is upon you. You don't get married because you barb a punk. You don't get married because you wear a black suit with a brown tie. No. You don't succeed because you speak good English. Good English is important. Wearing a black gown is cute. Cutting your hair is awesome. But in addition to that, there is a spiritual influence you must carry. And it begins with what? Acknowledging. Most of us, what we do sometimes is, we stand up concerning the healing anointing. We gather scriptures. And then we are looking at it. And then we are eating those scriptures one by one. We are eating those scriptures. And then I wake up, I say, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, they recover. Every sick person I lay hands on recovers. They cannot but recover. I don't need to struggle. My hands are the healing balms of Gilead. I keep saying it until it becomes my consciousness. I say, Jesus said, whomsoever house you enter, let your peace abide. If they receive you, let your peace abide. But if they reject you, carry your peace. And I tell myself, I'm a carrier of peace. Everywhere I go, there is peace. And if I carry peace to where I go, even myself, I carry peace. I don't struggle. There's no turbulence in my life. There is peace here. Because Jesus said, wherever I go, I carry my own peace. So I'm a carrier of peace. That's how we walk. You keep acknowledging. You keep acknowledging. And as you keep doing it, the power of God in your life begins to grow. It begins to grow. It begins to grow. It begins to grow. The Bible says, whomever you bless is blessed. That means I don't need to shout Jesus for you to be blessed. If I come to you and I say, brother, how are you doing? You are blessed. Because my words carry life. He said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit. They are life. So when I come to a place, my goal is not that I can speak English. I say, as I'm coming there, I'm speaking spirit. I'm speaking life. I just know it. I just know it. There is no way you can walk with me and not be blessed. I tell you, I've been with Pastor Isaac for close to 24 hours. I know that his ministry will shift. I don't need to say, kneel down, let me pray for you. Because we have worked together. There is something about me that will rub off on him. And the same way they heard of me from Zambia, they will hear of him from Nigeria. It's a spirit technology. Why is it so? He said, behold how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. He said, it's like the oil flowing from the head of Aaron through his beard down to his head. It's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. He said, there the Lord commands his blessing. So the moment three of us are standing together, I just know that there is a dew coming. I don't need to feel anything. Because when brethren, as I'm here now, I can tell you the glory of God is here. I just know. Because we are tarrying together. He said it's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. But there is another believer here waiting. For when apostle will ascend, an apostle begins to do impartation. That's when that person is receiving. But that's not when the glory of God came. That's when that person became aware. But for some of us that have built our spiritual senses, the moment I walked into this place, I could interact with the glory. And beauty. That's why, as I started talking, the moment I started talking, the power of God started moving. I have to regulate it. See, I've mastered how to regulate the power of God with my mind. If I want... The spiritual intelligence. They are basic, but they are powerful. They are basic, but they are powerful. If I want God to start touching people now, I just need to own my senses.
I don't need to do anything. And it will just begin to happen naturally. Because you have built it over time. It's like a radar. You emit it. But you have to grow. And the way to do it is to what? To begin to acknowledge. Many mothers don't know that they are an embodiment of blessings. Me, complain over my children. No. 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 Because they came out of me. They have no choice. They have no choice. I don't need to gather intercessors to pray for my son. My son? No. No. Do you know the energy that went into his creation? My God. My God. My son. As he's growing up, I will literally alter his seasons. When he's 1 year old, I will speak the word of God over him. When he's 5 years old, I will now tell him, begin to walk in angelic realm. And he will be alone. Angels will be ministering to him. When he's 10 years old, he will begin to prophesy. My son, how can he be wayward? My DNA is there. If I touch people and they are blessed, how can the one that carries my DNA? It's a consciousness. Meanwhile, many people are running helter-skelter. They are looking for the major prophet to touch their children. No, that's good. Honor graces. But what do you mean? I carry the Holy Spirit. Did you not read that the Bible said, him that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. And then, me who is joined with the Holy Ghost, I produce an offspring. And that offspring is not coming out full of glory. The doctors that will touch that child when it's coming out, there is something that will enter them. See, knowledge is progressive. They are realm. Let me tell you something. If you don't know, see, the realm where you function from matters. There are many people that if their wives are pregnant, they need to lay hand on the tummy and be prophesying. That's beautiful. But some of us, because that child carries my DNA, is enough. It will come out a global influence. An elephant doesn't need to pray for the child to be big. The child comes out an elephant. An elephant doesn't need to lay hand and begin to prophesy for the child to be big. The day they give birth to that child is bigger than a cow. Because it's an elephant. If a cow wants to give birth to an elephant, it may need to prophesy. But not when an elephant wants to give birth to an elephant. There's no need to prophesy. No. Consciousness. My God. If you know, see, I said we are going somewhere, right? We are going somewhere. What do you mean? You carry this thing. See, you are so saturated. When you are coming out of your house, you know the nation, the territory is about to be blessed. Because while you are breathing, you are emitting something. Because when you breathe the anointing. See, even the people in the demonic realm know. Why do you think the sons of the born women enter every nook and cranny of society? They keep releasing curses because they know their words carry power in the demonic. If the guy comes to your city, he wants to do shoe shining so that he can enter every compound. If he comes to your city, he wants to be a gate man. So they send all their sons to all the houses of all the wealthy men and make them gate men. And in front of the gate, they open an altar. The man doesn't know. He thinks he's hiring an illiterate to be a gate man. Meanwhile, that person he's hiring is a priest in the demonic realm. So his house is a potter. He's not aware. These guys know kingdom. They know what they carry. But Christians don't know. So we are so religious. When we gather, we are waiting for something to begin to happen. The moment we are coming, things are happening. And when we step out, we become like the ark of God's presence. We carry the presence of God everywhere we go. We are sacred.
And that's why you can't catch a Christian with understanding dressed carelessly. My body is sacred. I'm the ark of the presence. The presence dwells in me. I'm now the ark. When that ark was kept in Obed-Edom's house, he prospered. I'm the ark. I'm the ark of the presence. I can't be careless. When you see me, when you talk to me, when you touch me, it's a privilege. And it's not just about me. It's about every Christian. As you are talking to the person, you are emitting life. But are you aware? Are you aware that your words are not common? That's why you don't talk anyhow. If I come to a place, no. They are there, they are talking from morning to evening. No. When we talk, we change territories. When we talk, we bet seasons. When you talk, you unlock seals. When you talk, you open gates. That's what you know. But it's a build up. It's a consciousness. I go to the job and he fails. No, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. That's who we are. My family can't fail. My marriage can't fail. I came to save the world. How can my marriage fail? No. Our marriages don't fail. It works. Our marriages work. It works. My plane can't crash. I am not praying for God to save the plane. I'm the safety of the plane. That's why God sent me there. Why do you think Zambia is a great nation? It's because you are here. If you live here, this nation is in trouble. He said you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be healed. Zambia is not a great nation because of the mineral resources. It's because you are here. And so every time you wake up, you wake up as an addition to this nation. And you say, we are changing things. We are shifting this country. You don't need an apostle to visit you for your country to change. You carry the Holy Ghost. It's enough. It's a consciousness. So he said that the communication of your faith should become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. Some of you have not acknowledged enough. That's why your life is where it is. You have not acknowledged enough. When you begin to acknowledge, like Job, you will say your eyes were created to look upon sacred things. You say your tongue was created to create and to procreate. You say your hands are to bless. Your feet are to bring glad tidings. Everything about your life will change. You come into your church. You say, oh, we are changing lives here. We are transforming people here. We are taking territories from here. And then the church is growing. You are singing. You are not just a chorister. You are not a musician. No. When I sing, I emit life. Through sound, I bring government to territories. I'm a voice to a nation. It's a consciousness. And when you begin to build this consciousness, you see the power of God beginning to activate different potentials in your life. And not too long, your world will begin to see your light. And kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Please sit down. Number two, I said, as you journey on this path, you must yield to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the animator of spiritual realities. If you do these things and you don't yield to the Holy Spirit, you are just a talker. Because the two must go hand in hand. You've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. You've got to submit your life to the Holy Spirit so that all these things you are doing is actually the Holy Spirit you are conducting. But if you don't yield to the Holy Spirit, you will not conduct Him enough. So you will say so much, but very little will come out. When you want to pray for the sick, you may need to touch them, you may need to hug them, you may need to shout. But another man that carries enough, he can just come and say, holy, 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 holy is the Lord, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. And as he's just doing that thing he's doing, cancer will be going. Cancer. He's not shouting, cancer will be going. Holy, holy, holy. Even when he's doing an illustration, he's not praying for the sick yet. He's just doing an illustration. But the problem is that he's so saturated that the spirit doesn't know whether he means it or it's a joke. We had a great prophet that rose in our nation. And I'm sure some of you know him, Babalola. They said, a point came. He doesn't joke. Because he told somebody, are you mad? The person started pulling his clothes. The saturation, the energy level is too much that whether it's a joke or it means it, something happens. So you are not giving, if you want to give illustration, say, sister, come, let me say something. And then you hold her. You say, look at this sister. From today, the hand of God will become mighty upon your life. There's nothing like illustration. It's not an illustration. If you use somebody for example, the thing will happen to the person. You are super saturated. You are saturated. Because you are yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's the life we were called to live. We were actually called to reveal God to our generation. The world is not supposed to see you.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.